Good morning, and welcome to each of you as we come into the Lord's house for worship this morning. Please take a few moments to sign the friendship register at the end of the row, closest to the center aisle, and pass it next to the neighbor seated next to you. And please read inside your bulletins for upcoming events and ministries here. There are notes about the Thanksgiving tree that you see up here at the front to your left, just below the organ. There are also outreach opportunities for Operation Christmas Child and the Warmth Tree. There is also a weekly Bible study on each Wednesday evening. And today is Blanket Sunday, and we'll be receiving offerings which we donate to help Church World Services provide blankets and other needed supplies during times of disaster, both here locally and worldwide as well. And poinsettias may also be ordered between now and November 21st. They'll be part of our sanctuary decor here from mid-December through the end of the Advent season. And you may take them home on Christmas Eve. Just let us know on the form inside your bulletin of a loved one for whom you would like to purchase a poinsettia in honor or in memory of. And then that list of folks will be published in a bulletin just before Christmas. And speaking of Christmas, we will be decorating the sanctuary for the Advent season after the 11 o'clock worship service on Sunday, November 21st. That's 2 weeks from today. As you've probably noticed, our communion table has been prepared once again, and we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper during our worship services, as we have done for many years here at Berry. And Barb Mayberry is taking orders for pecans that we usually sell during a turkey dinner, and they're very popular and very good. If you would like to order some pecans this year, please see or call Barb Mayberry. All right, may we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I might add a quick announcement. Now, as we're entering to the end of the year and we are able to shed the masks, I'm looking forward to starting up the church choir again. So I just want to put a call out. If that has ever been you, or if you've always had a dream of singing with the church choir, then your time is coming soon. More information will come in the next week about that. But I invite you to stand for the call to worship this morning. Teach us your ways, O Lord, make them known to us.
Teach us to live according to your truth, for you are our God, who saves us. We always trust in you.
Because the Lord is righteous and good, he teaches sinners the path they should follow. We'll now sing number 632, Lead On, O King Eternal, all the stanzas.
Has come, henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tent shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong, and now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle. Fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly comes. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey light, The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
Will we bow for a moment of prayer? Lord God, we lift your name on high as we gather in worship this morning at Berry Christian Church. We gather in praise and gratitude as we acknowledge you as our Lord, our Shepherd, who restores our souls. O God, we are aware that we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who we welcome into our presence as we begin our service of worship. And we seek the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front here for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, kiddos. How are we all doing this morning? Yeah, I know I'm not Kathy Connell. Kathy, unfortunately, has COVID, and so she's going to be missing in action for a couple of weeks. I talked to her yesterday, and she told me to tell you kids that she will miss you, and she loves you all very much. And so our prayers are with Kathy during her recovery time. So I got a question for y'all. Have you ever felt totally helpless? Totally helpless. I'm betting that you two for sure have seen a baby who was totally helpless, right? When McKenna was born. Yeah, she couldn't really roll herself over, right? She couldn't feed herself, couldn't burp herself. Mom and Dad had to do that. Dad had changed her diaper, right? That's being totally helpless, isn't it? Have you ever seen a turtle that rolls over on its back and it can't roll itself back over very easily? But do you know some turtles can actually roll themselves back over? I got some pictures to share. So here's a turtle lying on his back with that round shell. He can't really do much with himself, can he? He just kind of rocks back and forth. But this turtle has figured out how to do this. He sticks his neck out and his nose and he rolls himself back over. Pretty amazing, isn't it? This is a picture, and no, it's not upside down. It's a picture of a sheep. and that sheep is lying on its back. Well, in Children's Church, we've been talking about the fact that David, the shepherd David, had to tend to his sheep 24/7, right? They couldn't do much for themselves either. He had to make them stop eating and help them lie down in green pastures so that they could digest their food. And he also had to help them roll back over sometime, because it turns out if a sheep rolls over on its back, it can't get up because its back is kind of flat and wide. It'll lay there and kick its feet until the shepherd comes over and helps it roll back over. And they call that being restored. Once a sheep has rolled back over, now the blood will start flowing again to its legs, and after it wobbles around for a few minutes, it'll be just fine. It'll be restored. Well, we have a shepherd too, right? Who's our shepherd? Jesus is our shepherd. And so he restores us as well. He restores our souls. And he does that by keeping us close to God. All right, we'll talk more about this down in Children's Church. Can we bow for a moment of prayer? Lord, we thank you, and we pray for the spiritual growth of these beautiful children. We pray, Lord, that we at Berry Christian Church can lead them in the ways of Jesus, who can tend to their every spiritual need. And in whose name we pray, amen.
Jim, thank you. Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be in the Lord's house this morning. Also want to make note that this is the Sunday before Veterans Day, coming this Thursday, the 11th of November. So just first of all, I want to recognize our veterans. Who among us are our veterans? How about if we stand? Any of our veterans, would you please stand? Let's give them a hand and thank our veterans. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless you. We are grateful for your service to our nation. As we are lifting up our folks, as Jim just mentioned to you, yes, Kathy Connell does have the coronavirus, and at the same time, so does Helen Kirby. And one thing that is in common for both of them, as has been the case for a total of four families that I am aware of, is that in each case it started out as a head cold and ended up being the coronavirus. So this is a theme that keeps prevailing. So folks, we are not past the virus. And so if you even have so much as what you think is a mild head cold, you might want to get it checked. Because again, we've had four cases of folks that I'm aware of just in the last few weeks where that head cold was in fact the coronavirus. In the case of Helen, we praise God that it seems like a mild case. We're hoping that's going to be the case for Kathy as well. One thing again, another common theme, of the four cases I am aware of, all were breakthrough cases, but all four of those family units, the folks had all the shots. And in fact, I know Kathy had her third Pfizer shot just recently because it was just right after my third shot. We thought we were comparing notes about all that. So still, needs for being diligent and cautious in the midst of where we're at. Please keep these folks in your prayers. We also want to lift up at McCrite Rehabilitation, Debbie Buzinski and Grace and Jean Kimmerling. We also continue to keep in prayer Jerry Donahue and Betty, John Adams and Larry Pettis, John and Jean Cantola. We're certainly remembering Susan Cox's great nephews, William and Kristen, in the midst of their healing. We lift up Ernest Lyons, Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris. We're remembering Lana Witten's daughter, Beth, Katie Turner's cousin, Anoki. We're remembering Don and Vicki Lauffer's son, Champ, Barbara Blakely's brother, Roy. And Rihanna Ralston continues to be in our prayers, as well as many others whom we've been lifting up for many weeks. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and loving God, we are privileged to honor your name in worship and praise this Lord's Day. And on this Sunday before Veterans Day, we not only lift up the needs of many as we do every Sunday, but today we also offer our thanks to the many who have or who are serving in the armed services of our nation. For even as Christ our Lord reminds us in John chapter 10, verse 18, that he gave up his life by his own free will, we are mindful also that we are afforded the protection to worship you as our conscience dictates, because generations of our fellow citizens have freely chosen to serve in our nation's defense. And as Mark chapter 10, verse 45 tells, that Christ came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, we are aware also of the many who voluntarily risk their lives, and some who have offered the ultimate sacrifice of their lives for the privileges we enjoy day after day. And as Titus chapter 3, verse 5 tells us, it is not our own works that redeem us, but rather, it is your own great love and mercy that has washed away our sins and offered us spiritual renewal. Thus, may we be inspired to offer every day the best of ourselves for the benefit of others as an expression of your heartfelt thanks. And on this Sunday, in which we remember King David declaring in the 23rd Psalm that you, O God, restore our souls, we offer you our thanks for the many ways in which you reach into our lives and carry us up into your everlasting arms, so that we may indeed have hope as we are restored from even the most dreadful of circumstances, sins, and deprivation. This we pray in thanksgiving, as we also recite the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. I can be.
As we are privileged to once again share in the Lord's Supper, we remember that the bread and cup Christ offered his disciples after the final earthly Passover were set apart to remind generations of believers that Christ offered his very life as the final sacrifice for the forgiveness of humanity's transgressions against God. We share in this bread and cup, and so that we can honor Christ and to be reminded to live lives that honor his example of selfless service and sacrifice. We prepare our hearts to receive as we turn to our communion hymn, number 545. We'll sing all stanzas of "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought."
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. By water still or troubled sea, still 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by the grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leads.
gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as we're led by David in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day and for the opportunity to worship you in your house. Here at this table, we remember that your Son gave his life so that we might have eternal life with you in heaven. We pray that you will bless the bread and cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. As we receive our weekly tithes and offerings to support the ministries of this congregation and beyond, the flyer and offering envelope enclosed in your worship bulletin also welcome you to participate in the Blanket Sunday offering. For through the ministries of the Church World Service, blankets, school kits, hygiene kits, and a host of other necessities are delivered to persons facing emergency needs concerning poverty, as well as natural and man-made disasters. Your gifts are appreciated as we offer a word of prayer and receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Ron?
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather around your table once again this morning, we are very thankful for the blessings of the past week, and we look forward to the week ahead. We ask your blessing on these gifts, tithes, and offerings to be used wisely here at Perry. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
Used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. We've been making our way through the 23rd Psalm, again, those first three verses, as we recall. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Merciful and loving, shepherd of our very lives and souls, we give thanks for your abundant mercy in Christ and your great love despite our wayward ways. As a compassionate shepherd restores his cast-down sheep, we are grateful that you, too, restore all of us, your children. In Christ, we give you thanks now and always. Amen. What we have already begun to take away from this sermon series about being a good shepherd, not only in biblical times, but certainly even today, is that the task of being a shepherd is a 24/7 labor-intensive endeavor. For sheep are always in need of constant attention and dutiful care. Last week, we learned just how much effort a good shepherd expended daily just so that his sheep could feel comfortable enough to, if you remember, simply lie down in green pastures as he also diligently leads them to still waters. And again, we made an emphasis of that lying down and what it meant to be still waters before the sheep. And this Sunday, our appreciation for shepherds grows even deeper as we further explore the shepherd's attentive care for his sheep. For the sheep are forever in danger of dying from one threat or another. You may recall from that very first message a couple of weeks back in this series, we learned that young David, the slinger, if you will, not only killed Goliath with that single rock, but that he'd been in the habit of chasing off, if not, in fact, killing threatening lions, wolves, and other predators with a single rock catapulted from his trusty sling. But if predators weren't enough of a problem, sheep are often in danger of dying for something far more mundane and seemingly innocent. They are in danger of dying when they are cast down. King David may well have had the image of a cast down sheep in his mind as he wrote the third verse of the 23rd Psalm, and here our focus this morning is of the very first portion of this third verse, simply the words we've heard many times before, but are only mentioned this one time in Scripture. And again, we remember it from the King James Version, "He restoreth my soul." And then, of course, the rest of the verse, "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And we'll talk about that next week, because that takes all of a whole Sunday in and of itself. A lot is packed into this single sentence, but let us focus today on this whole notion of restored souls. Restoration seems like an odd choice of words when we're thinking about sheep until we understand just how often sheep need to be restored by their loving and attentive shepherd. Because it has to do with this thing called a sheep being cast down. Well, what does cast down mean? You've heard of somebody being cast out, but what about being cast down? Well, whether it's a child's drawing or the work of a master artist, a flock of sheep usually appear to be a mass grouping of fluffy cotton balls with tiny feet and even heads or faces appearing rather indistinguishable. Like a blimp flying high in the sky, sheep are similarly top-heavy. With all the fluff of their thick, puffy wool, there appears to be so little supporting such mass above, if you will. And sheep are indeed so very top-heavy that when sheep are looking for a place to lie down, whether it be green pastures or even a rocky terrain, they also often prefer to find somewhat of an indentation or a low spot in the ground, believing that it will make them feel more comfortable as they plop themselves down on their sides. Imagine having so much mass that when you lie down, you feel like you've got a pillow on your side while you're trying to lie down. It's just not very comfortable, is it? Think of a sheep. Think what it's like to have so much all around above you, you know, plop. So they look for, often, some kind of indentation so that when they lie down, they're more a little more level. It's kind of like that type of mattress with all the springs in it, you know, so that when you lie down, you think your spinal column's still level, you know, all of that business we think about trying to sleep. But in fact, as they lie down in an indentation and begin to relax and stretch out their tiny legs, it's rather easy for them to actually roll over on their backs. This legs-up position then presents them with a rather dangerous problem And this is what is called a sheep being cast down, or simply a cast sheep. Being cast down, a helpless sheep then begins to wiggle around and thrash her little legs about. But the sheep's efforts bury her all the more into the depression, and with all the leg flaying, bleeding, and ultimate panic, it gets the sheep absolutely nowhere, and she can become quite exhausted. In fact, as the sheep remains helpless on her back, gases begin to build up in what's called the rumen, the first stomach of the sheep, causing it to expand to the point that it will retard and cut off blood circulation to the extremities of the body, especially her legs. And if the weather is hot and sunny, a cast sheep will die in a few hours. If the weather is cool and cloudy and rainy, a sheep can survive in this position for possibly several days, unless, of course, it is attacked by lurking predators who know that a cast sheep is easy prey, because a cast sheep can't run. No matter how much a cast sheep may try to get herself upright, the tragic truth is that a cast sheep can never upright herself. And her neighboring sheep, all standing around about her, are absolutely useless. In fact, circling vultures are a clear sign to a shepherd watching a large flock of sheep that among his sheep, one is in fact cast down. Because high above, the vultures are aware that an easy meal awaits them once the sheep is dead. Circling vultures will put a shepherd in a mad dash through his flock in effort to find those 4 feet that are sticking up. And upon reaching the cast sheep, the shepherd tenderly rolls his sheep over on her side. This relieves the pressure of gases in the rumen. And if the sheep has been down for long, he will lift her onto her feet. Then, straddling the sheep with his legs, he will hold her up, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulation in her legs. And when the sheep begins to walk again, she will stumble and stagger and likely collapse a few more times, until the circulation and strength are fully restored. And when a cast sheep is discovered quickly enough, it is in fact restored. The sheep and the shepherd are indeed both quite relieved. You know, we hate to admit it, but we people are so very often the cast sheep in our loving God's fold. Whether inadvertently as a consequence of distractions, or whether habitually because we're always looking for that cozy spot that we think will give us comfort, pleasure, or happiness, we find ourselves upside down as the consequence of our own sinful ways. We're cast down and feeling rather helpless in our troubles. When we are tossed upside down by addictions that entrap us, threatening our family and our jobs, and may even destroy our very lives. We are cast down when we are surrounding ourselves with destructive or evil vices or relationships that can drive us further and further away from loved ones and from God. We're cast down when natural disasters take our homes or our livelihoods, and we're struggling to find even the necessities for daily living. We are cast down when we are flat on our backs from a dreadful illness that makes us wonder if vultures aren't circling over our heads. Being cast down can happen so gradually that we don't even know we are in trouble until it seems too late. Or being cast down can happen so suddenly that we find ourselves flailing about in panic. And like the cast sheep stuck in the depression of the earth, we may soon discover that we can't get ourselves out of our troubles. Not on our own. Like Simon Peter, we find ourselves sinking in the waters as we cry out, as did he to Jesus in Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, "Lord, save me." And Christ reaches into the waters of our chaotic existence and lifts us up to his loving embrace. We are restored. And even if we think we're those sheep that never fall up on our backs, if we think we're the righteous ones, minding our own business and living the right life, truth be told, we are still sinners who are spiritually cast down sheep. For as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And yet again, Christ our Lord became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin. And through God's great grace in Christ, we are lifted out from the clutches of sin and death and welcomed into the loving embrace of God's eternal presence. So outside this morning on the sign, it simply states the words that we are restored in Christ. It's a reference to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. The text tells us, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So yes, even if you feel like a cast down sheep, know that the restoration from Christ is yours. Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't, today can be your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation. Again, this is that song we've been singing about Psalm 23. We'll sing it once again. Number 78, "The Lord's My Shepherd," and we'll sing all stanzas, please. 78.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. God makes me down to lie in pastures green, and leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul thou dost restore again, and me to walk dost make within the paths of righteousness, e'en for thine own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's deep veil, yet I will fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes, my head thou dost anoint with oil, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be.
We do want to remind you about the Thanksgiving tree, a few more leaves that need to be taken as we are filling up the goods for those Thanksgiving meals. And again, also be reminded that for those who feel comfortable doing so, we do have coffee fellowship, once again, in the basement just below the sanctuary, for those who may want to share in that time of fellowship before we have Sunday school. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, and for that we truly give thanks as we know that in Christ we are restored. Guide us as we journey forward in the days ahead of this new week. In Christ's name we give thanks for the privilege to worship you this day. Amen.
For it is thou.